We've heard five women sharing today on some aspect of the word season. We had Brianna talking about wrestling with God, and she said to give up the pen of your story. I like that. We had Christy who talked about don't lose sight of the harvest, and keep your eyes on the kingdom and your hand to the plow. Karen Walker talked about being ready in season and out of season. And I liked when she said some seasons just may seem longer than they should be. And we had Karen Ross talked about unexpected seasons need to cause us to run to Jesus. And then we had my mom, who now you all know where I get my humor from. we're all looking for love. And God's the only one who can love us like we need to be loved. Yeah. Well, my notes are in the folder, and I've called this teaching, Let's Celebrate. No, I've called it, Let's Celebrate. What am I thinking? I love to celebrate. So much so that I have been known to throw my own birthday parties. And I didn't do it for the presents. I just did it because I wanted to have my friends and family around to celebrate life. Plus, I wanted it to be the way I wanted it. But that was beside the point. Every time a season changes, my heart celebrates. I have about a 15, 20-minute drive to work every day. And I drive and I always look at these trees in the spring because I'm waiting for the buds. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I think it's going to start. It's going to start. And then pretty soon I'll just see a little glimpse of red, just a little bit. I know it's coming. And so that causes me to go out to this back door and I stand and I see the green starting to come up in the back. And I just get so excited. And then I get real sad on June 22nd because I know every day it's going to get shorter. And the Hall of Fame game, that means fall's coming. And then that first snowflake. I remember when I taught in the Christian school, I would go, kids, it's snowing, and they'd all jump up, and they'd run, and they'd look out the window, and we'd be so excited. And we weren't that excited in another month, but we liked it at that point. Then would come Christmas, or Thanksgiving, and Christmas, and New Year's. I still take Martin Luther King Jr. and President's Day off to celebrate with my grandkids. I have them spend every Sunday night with me on those holidays, and we just do stuff for the next day. I just like to celebrate. And so you're probably wondering, what in the world does celebrate have to do with the seasons? Well, I believe it has everything to do with it. I'm going to look at Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And God is right in the middle. I got to get myself a Kleenex. Oh, here, I got it. My nose is drippy. Probably because my mom drank out of my cup. God's right in the middle of creation. He's already created day one, day two, day three. And it says, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the night from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Just as with everything else in creation, God created everything just right for humans. The right temps, the right tip of the axis of the earth, just the right amount of oxygen and carbon dioxide, just the perfect speed for the earth to spin so we don't fall off or fly off, and just the right speed for us to go around the sun. It was no different with the lights when he put them into the sky, the sun, moon, and the stars. It says that he made them for signs, for seasons, days, and years. And when God created the sun and moon, a byproduct of that was the seasons. But he created those lights because he had in his mind appointed times that he wanted to meet and celebrate with his people. The Hebrew word here for seasons in Genesis 1:14 is the same, is the word moed, M-O-E-D. And it's used elsewhere in the Bible, and it's translated as a set or an appointed time, or an appointed, a set place, or a set meeting. It's also the word for feast. It's also used as feast, festival, or assembly. Moed is the same word that God used in Leviticus 23 when he told Moses the feasts and the festivals that he wanted his people to celebrate. In Leviticus 23:37, it says, and I have on there that this is out of the New American Standard Bible. I'm almost positive I'm wrong. I believe this is probably, I'm sorry, I don't know what version it is. But I try to put it on here because I use different ones. But I'm sure it's not that. Because it says, these are the appointed times, the moed of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations to present offerings by fire to Yahweh, burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, and drink offerings. Each day's matter on its own. You see, these appointed times were holy, and they were set aside because they were times when God would meet with his people. God connected with his people during the feasts and the festivals. Sorry, my notes are not in order. That isn't good. At least I figured it out. According to Leviticus 23, there are seven modems, which is moed, pluralized, or appointed times that God chose. Moses didn't decide this. God said, these are my festivals. And so in there was the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, then the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. Four of those feasts were in the spring, and then the last three were in the fall. They all find their conclusion, I'm not sure if that's, I can't think of the word I want, in Jesus. But three of those feasts required going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And so I want to talk a little bit about why feasts. Why would God, why would he want this? Well, the feasts were to remind them of where they had come from. Passover, unleavened bread, and the first fruits, those are all, one starts on the 14th of Nisan, the next one starts on the 15th and goes 7 days, the other one starts in the middle of that. So they're kind of all together, kind of like Christmas and New Year's are together for us, kind of like that. And these were to remind them of God's deliverance from Egypt's bondage. They had been slaves, and they were set free in dramatic fashion. Over and over again, and it's a lot in the Psalms, God tells his people to remember. It's used over 352 times in the Bible. And if you count all the variants, like remembering, remembered, remembrance, it's actually used 550 times. Because he wanted them to remember so they wouldn't forget. The last time we had communion, Pete got up and did it. And as soon as he started, I knew what he was going to say, because that's exactly what I had been thinking for this. And Pete said, why are we doing this? And someone said, because he wants us to remember. And he said, why does he want us to remember? And it was because we'll forget. And so I thought, oh, that's exactly what he's showing me. I get excited when God's doing that. You see, they were dreaming of leeks and onions. Keith Green, eating leeks and onions by the Nile. Oh, what breath, but dining out in style. But anyway, they were dreaming of leeks and onions, but they forgot that they were in bondage. Yeah. Yeah. Deuteronomy 24:22. Oh, Mom, I think I'm getting what you have. We're all going to die. I know. Remember, Deuteronomy 24:22 says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Just as he wanted the Israelites to remember where they had come from, he wants every one of you to remember where you've come from. Yeah. Because we too were slaves. Yeah. And God delivered us by the power of the Holy Spirit, also in dramatic fashion. You may be sitting here thinking, well, I got saved as a kid and it was nothing big. I have a song I sing every once in a while. It talks about, it's called the Testimony Song, and it goes, I never smoked dope or swore at the Pope or spent the night with a shady lady. I was only 6 years old, but I was so bold when I said, Preacher, I want him to save me. And Jesus, I know that he saved me. Even if you were that six-year-old, it was dramatic fashion because somebody gave up his life for you. Yeah. And that is huge because nobody else has done that for me. Romans 6, 17 and 18 says, Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey his teachings we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. See, God knew at creation that his son Jesus was the true light of the world. And I kind of see Genesis 1, 14 as God announcing that his son is the light in the darkness. He created these lights, and it was like he was just showing off his son to me. He knew that by placing those lights in the sky, that Moeds, appointments with him, were going to be set up. He knew that there were going to be people that were going to be celebrating being free, and not just from Egypt. He knew that ultimately Jesus would become our Passover lamb. God wants us to celebrate Jesus. Let's not forget where we've come from. The feasts were also to remind them of who had their back. Psalms 106, 6 and 7, and then 13 through 15 says, We have sinned, even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but he sent a wasting disease among them. You know, it's just so easy when we get into life to think that God forgot about us. They forgot what he had done, and it says they did not wait for his plan to unfold. I do not want to not wait for his plan to unfold. Just recently, I was reading something, and it was talking about, you know, hard times and walking away from the Lord, and it was like, how do you know that the next day he wasn't going to give you that answer, and you gave up on it? I want to wait for his plan to unfold. I don't want to depend on myself. And it's really easy to get frustrated when things don't go my way. But I need to remember that our lives are in his hands and that we can trust that he knows what he's doing, because he will not abandon us. Psalm 121, it's called a song of ascent. Psalms 121 through, I think it's 134, thank you, are psalms. They're a little bit shorter in length, and these are songs that were sung by the Jews on their way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was high up on a hill, so they were called songs of ascent because they had to walk up there. Because people were all coming from their own homes, their own cities, and they were all kind of just converging, and they started traveling together. And Psalm 121 says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. And it's really easy to put our trust in things we see, like mountains. Does my help come from there? We can see a mountain. But we need to remember that, no, our help comes from the Lord. The first generation of Israelites that left Egypt, they all missed out on the promised land, all but Caleb and Joshua. And they did that because they didn't trust God. I don't want to miss out on what God has in store for me because I didn't trust him to have my back. So let's be ladies who don't forget that he has our back. The feasts were also a time away from the ordinary ho-hum of life. during times of fasting, they would, or during the feast, they would have sometimes times of fasting. They might fast, for example, Passover, they didn't have leaven. And sometimes it told them they were to do no work. There were other times where they had to be in community, like when they were traveling to Jerusalem. And there were times where they had to recognize God with sacrifices. There were times to honor God and times to remember the Sabbath. And Mark 1:35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." When I think about this, I think if Jesus had to leave the ordinary ho-hum of life to spend time with his Father, how much more do I need to do that? It's very early in the morning while it was still dark. Psalm 143:5 says, "I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done." He wants us to remember, and he wants us to meditate on his works, and he wants us to consider what he's done. Proverbs 3:9, "Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best." When they would offer up an animal for sacrifice, it had to be the best. It had to be perfect. And some of them had to be firstborn. And so we need to honor God with the first we have and the best that we have. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." He wants us to spend time with him, and he wants us to be praying and talking to him. Psalm 116:17 says, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord." Let's not forget to take time out of our busy lives for the Lord. The feasts were also a time to focus on the Lord. Focus not just with our eyes, but also with our hearts. Focus so that we forget about all else but him. Focus to avoid having any other gods before us, and to focus on his goodness and his kindness. Psalm 50:14-15 says, "Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." Psalm 105, "Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." He wants us to seek his face. He wants us to look into it. Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And all these things are the things that we eat, drink, wear. We can worry about those things, and we can seek to eat, to drink, and to have clothes. But in the end, we'll have eaten, drank, and have clothes, but we won't have the kingdom. So we need to seek that kingdom, because he says we'll have the other things. But if we seek them, we're not guaranteed that kingdom. Psalm 27:4, my favorite verse in the entire Bible. "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." This person focused on the Lord. First, they asked him things. It says he was seeking after the Lord. He wanted to dwell in his house all the days of his life. And he wanted to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And he wanted to inquire in his temple. You see, God was his focus. So let's not forget to focus on the Lord. The feasts are also a time to rededicate, renew, and restore. 1 Corinthians 5:7-8 says, "Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you'll be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are." Yeast is often used in reference to sin. And so that's one of the reasons why they would not eat yeast. Eat yeast? Wow, that's a hard thing to say. They wouldn't eat bread with yeast in it because they had to get rid of that leaven. And then it says, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us." So here's the fulfillment of that. The Passover feast was right there in Jesus. So let us celebrate the festival, not with the old bread of wickedness and evil, but with a new bread of sincerity and truth. Let's celebrate Jesus. Before the temple was built, God's people had the tent of meeting. And this in the Hebrew was called, no, I'm going to say Ohel, but it's O-H-E-L. I'm not saying something else. Ohel Moed. That was what the tent of meeting was called. Now remember, Moed was the appointed time to be with him. It was an appointed place or an appointed meeting. So Ohel Moed was the appointed place that God picked for his people to meet with him. It was the only place on earth at that time where God and his people could physically connect. Remember Moses when he came out of it? Remember his face shone. The people were standing at their tents and they were looking, and they could see that he had been with the Lord. I tell you what, I want people to be able to look at me and see that I've been with the Lord. And the only way that's going to happen is if I'm with him. Yeah. But I want to tell you that now we are the Ohel Moed. We are his temple. We don't have to only meet with him seven times a year.
Right.
We don't have to pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times a year to meet our Lord. And we don't have to offer up any animal sacrifices. We just need to accept Jesus' death and resurrection as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We need to spend time daily celebrating what Jesus has done for us. So let's remember where we've come from. Let's remember who has our back. Let's remember to take time away from the ordinary ho-hum life to celebrate our Lord. And let's remember to take time to daily focus on the Lord. Ephesians 1:3-6, this is out of the Message, and it says, "How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ, and he takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundation." See, before that the sun and moon ever were, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish giving by the hand of his beloved son. I tell you what, we have a lot of reasons to celebrate. And I just have loved and enjoyed listening to all the speakers this week. I just loved how I could just see how God, what God was doing. He was just put, none of us sat around and we didn't compare notes and we didn't say, hey, you do this or you do that. I mean, I had ideas, but we didn't do that. And I just like how God, I mean, I felt like he just orchestrated this thing. My teaching, as of a month ago, I wasn't even convinced that the Lord wanted me to teach. And I had been praying about it. And I had another matter I was praying about. And one of my former students said, "Well, why don't you just pray?" And I said, "Well, I've been praying." And I thought, well, you know, I had been praying, but I hadn't really been diligently seeking him. And the next morning, I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm just going to spend time with you." And I just sat there and I just, you know, I don't know what you want me to do, but because I don't want to just talk to talk. I can do that pretty good. But I didn't want to do that. And so as I was sitting there, he gave me the title and he gave me all these points. And I very quickly put him in my phone because I knew I wasn't going to remember in 5 minutes. And so I tell you, none of this made sense to me. And I kept going over and over again. And it wasn't until this morning that he just hit me. I just think he's an awfully good God. And I hope that you can see that, you know, from the get-go, he wanted us. He wanted us to have a relationship with him. And he wanted us to have a reason to celebrate.